I'm a frustrated Gemara Rebbe. So if you don't mind, I'm going to give shiur. You guys can ask, you know. Learn a piece of Gemara together. Is that okay? Business of being a mashkiach is kind of a drag, you know, because you get everybody's problems. I want to sit and learn. The Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Zayin in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. The Mishnah addresses the question. The Mishnah addresses the question of Ketzev Me'aymin Es Ha'edim. How do we frighten the witnesses? Get them to tell us the truth. We're talking in a capital case where the Dine Nefashos person could be put to death as a result of their testimony. And we want to encourage them to tell the truth. I have some nods and shakes. Anybody seen this Mishnah before? Good? Good? Yeah? Anybody seen the Mishnah? Yeah? Good? So the Mishnah tells us that we do the following. We tell him that he must realize the consequences of what he's doing. L'fichach nivra adam yechidi, says the Mishnah. A man was created alone. L'lamedcha, to teach us. Shekol ha'ma'abed nefesh achas mi'yisrael, that if somebody causes the loss of one life, ma'ale alav ha'kosov ki'ilu ibeid olam male. It's as if he lost the whole world. Caused the loss of the whole world. V'chol ha'mekayim nefesh achas mi'yisrael, ma'ale alav ha'kosov ki'ilu kiyim olam male. And anybody who causes, who sustains a life, anybody who sustains a Jewish life, so the Torah considers it as if he sustained an entire world. Another reason the Mishnah says that person was created alone, one man alone, is so that there shouldn't be rivalry in among people. To say, my father is bigger than your father. In other words, we all come from the same father. All come from Adam Arishon. All come from one person. There shouldn't be rivalry, people saying, I come from a better stock. I come from the Ubermensch. I come from a better race of people. You know, cool it. You all come from the same one person. And another reason why he's created alone, says the Mishnah, that the minim, that the apostates shouldn't say that there's many gods. Shouldn't say there's many gods. And each god made his person. Each god sort of got started with making a person. So that's why there were many original people. Why? Because each god started it, got his setup started. You have to always be very careful, because minus, apostasy, mashche, Gemara tells us, it draws us. Minus, apikursus, mashche, it draws, it pulls. We don't know, we don't generally speak about that. We don't speak about the fact that we are drawn to say and think things against the Torah. We don't often think of that as a draw. We think of physical passions or pleasures, that's a draw. Drive for money, power, those are draw. But to have a philosophical argument against the Torah, that's a draw? The answer is, it is a draw equal, if not stronger. It is equal, if not stronger, than the draw to physical pleasures. Says velosasuru acharei levavchem v'acharei nechem acharei levavchem zuminus. That's apikursos. We are pulled to it. We're drawn to it. It's not the, we're not, it's not a philosophical arguments are not neutral. You'll forgive my digression here. I mean to speak about the next line of the Mishnah, but I must pause here because I just, if you don't mind my sharing a little bit of current events. You know, I'm a news addict. In a county, I think it's Dell County in Georgia, not Georgia and Russia, Georgia and the US of A, they have a biology textbook that the students are obligated to study, containing 102 pages about evolution. 102 pages in the biology textbook are devoted to evolution. The school board in that Bible Belt town decided, not just not disturbed, right? The school board decided to put a sticker on every textbook. The sticker reads as follows. This book contains information about evolution. Evolution is a theory about the origin of man. It is a theory, not a fact. Study it carefully, consider it, study it critically, so that you understand it and other it, so you, that you understand it critically. That was a lesson. You understand it critically. Think about it. Approved by whatever, Cobb County, I think it was. Cobb County Board of Education. That was the sticker that they put on the biology textbook. It is now in federal court in America. It is being contested in federal court in America as a violation of the separation of church and state. Where's church in this story? There's no reference to God, no reference to creation, no reference to religion, no reference to anything. It's kfira. It's kfira against the accepted religion called kfira. We should only be half as from. That we wouldn't be willing to accept a remez, a hint, to the possibility of the possibility that every single word in the Torah is not absolutely true. That we'd be willing to go to court if somebody just made a remez, a hint to the possibility that maybe some aspect of the Torah isn't 100% true. They didn't even say that it's not true. They just said it's only a theory. It's not a fact. We go to federal court because that's clearer. You want to learn how to be frum, you got to look at what's going on in America today with this story. That's what it means to be loyal to the Torah. Aye, but how did the world get to the point where they, you know, I thought America was a live and let live kind of country. There's a school board in Wisconsin, my old stomping ground, in northwest Wisconsin. Northwest Wisconsin, I have to tell you, Chevra, there are no cities in northwest Wisconsin. There are cows in northwest Wisconsin. There are no cities there. It is America's dairy land. There are no cities. They gather together enough farming communities that make one school district with 1,000 kids in an area about six times as large as Israel. They got, 1,000 kids in a school district. And their school district in northwest Wisconsin passed an ordinance allowing science teachers, not requiring, allowing science teachers to include reference to creation in the curriculum. Allowing, this is not obligating, allowing the science teachers in that school district, allowing them to make reference to creation in the school curriculum. 300 academics petitioned to have it repealed. So far, every time it's been brought up, it's been repealed. How do you get it? The country? Live and let live? Let everybody... I have to impose? The answer is minus mashche. People forget that fact. They forget that kfira, that opposition to every word in the Torah draws a person. It has a pull. It's not neutral. This is not a battle of ideas. Minus apikursus pulls a person. We unfortunately have a very high tolerance for apikursus. Very high tolerance. I'm not claiming that you need to become intolerant. But you should develop a sensitivity to the fact that A, there is a tremendous amount of apikursus in the world, and B, you should develop a sensitivity to the fact that it pulls a person in ways that we wouldn't imagine, to such a degree that America, the land of the free and the home of the braves, you know, they can't let it go. They can't let it go. You can't let this little school district in Northwest Wisconsin, you can't let them allow their teachers. Allow. Not obligate. Allow. You can't let. You must stand up for what's true and right, and make sure that the kids are only hearing about evolution. God forbid they should hear about a creator.
It means freedom from God.
That's exactly right. Because minus is mashche. Because you have to remember that apikursus draws a person, because we all want to be free of responsibility. Lo avdu Yisrael es ha'egel se chazal. Klal Yisrael only served the egel in order to permit illicit relations. That doesn't mean on any conscious level they were doing that. Believe me, if that was on a conscious level, you don't think that they would have asked the Chafetz Chaim to be the head of the story, huh? Who they asked to be the head of the story? Aaron HaKohen. Is that what you would do if you wanted to open a porno shop somewhere, you know? So you want to have the inauguration, you know, the groundbreaking. So who do you call to have the groundbreaking? Yeah? So you call the Chafetz Chaim, right? You want the Chafetz Chaim to come and bless the groundbreaking, right? Probably not. That's what they did. They went to Aaron HaKohen and said, Aaron HaKohen, we want you to help us with the eagle. And the Torah, with its piercing vision, saw through the whole story and said, deep down inside the whole thing, there was a tiny, tiny little trace of a desire to become free of the mitzvahs. It was completely, completely not conscious to them. If we would do something like the ego, we would get schar, endless schar, for our desire to be close to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But on the level of the Dor HaMidbar, so Chazal saw right through it. And they totally didn't know it. They totally didn't feel it to such an extent that they invited the Aaron HaKohen to be the one. And the only reason they invited Aaron HaKohen is because Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't available. They would have invited him. So steps needed to be taken, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a step, a very specific step, in order to avoid minus. What was the step to avoid minus? Only one person. One person. Why? Because otherwise there might be a possibility. By the way, this is the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu who said into the Torah, Nasa Adam B'Tzalmenu. Nasa Adam B'Tzalmenu. What did Moshe say when Hashem said, let us make man? What was Moshe's concern? You opened up the door to Minos. What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response?
They're going to take it anyway.
Why? How do you do that? How do you be hefker with Minos? How do you be hefker with Minos? So you see over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created one person just only in order to be able to avoid Minos? So, how do you hear your hefker and hear your... Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu want to say Nasa Adam B'Tzalmenu? To teach Derech Eretz. Give you an idea of what Derech Eretz means. After all the lengths that HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes to avoid Minos.
Why does it avoid Minos?
creation of one man?
Because the Mishnah says that if there were more than one original man, so that would leave room for philosophers to say that there were different gods, and each god got the kick started at the same time, and each one started out, you know, it's like different horses at the race.
But one man can do the same thing. Can also do.
One man can do what?
Can also bring apicursus.
Oh, it didn't do the trick, you mean?
Yeah.
And there's still room for apicursus.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It didn't get eliminated. I mean, this draws a person. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to avoid, yet there was apparently an insurmountable problem. If there would be more than one original man, it'd be too much, it'd be too hard. And yet here you have Nasal the Mitzalmenu. The answer is Midos and Derech Eretz. So it's significant that you even expose people to that. Minos. Because that's the significance, that's the critical importance of Midos and Derech Eretz. Any little lesson in Midos and Derech Eretz is so significant and so important that you even take the risk of ruining the whole world. But to learn a Derech Eretz, learn a Midos, Derech Eretz, worth it. After you've built up the case as to how dangerous Minos is, then say, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing to risk Minos in order to teach Midos. That a person who's in a position of authority and responsibility should consult and not act unilaterally. He nasa adam, he consulted with the Pamal Yashal Mala, he created a Bezdin in order to consult with them. Derech Eretz. The next the Mishnah says is Lahagid Gedulaso Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The reason why a man was created alone, one man alone, to teach us the greatness of the Creator. What's the greatness of the Creator? She'adam toveya kama matbeos b'chosam echad kulan domin zel hazeh. If a human being stamps out coins with one original minting of a coin, so every coin that is stamped out looks exactly the same. U'melech malchi emlochem HaKadosh Baruch Hu tova kol odam b'chosamo she'odam arishon. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu stamped every single person with the stamp of original man. Ve'ein echad mehen domer l'chavera. But there are no two people that look identical. That's the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he gives each person his absolute singularity. The Mishnah has made the case that the Eidim should be extremely careful about testifying, because each one person is worthy of having the whole world created for him. One man to teach all these wonderful lessons. One individual. Lefichach concludes the Mishnah. Lefichach, therefore, kol echad ve'echad chayav lomar bishvili nivra Ha'olam. Therefore, every single Jew, other Yisrael, so the Mishnah, in fact, use the word Yisrael just as the word Yisrael is used earlier in the Mishnah. Every Jew is required to say, for me the world was created. For me the world was created. Now, you might have a tendency to think that that sounds like a four-year-old who also believes that the world was created for him, in a little bit of a different sense. So in order to avoid that, Rashi's first word is klomar. What's a klomar do for a living?
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding. What does it do? Meaning?
The way it's written.
Good. Because what would simple pshat be if you didn't have a brain?
Give me.
Give me, give me. It's all coming to me. Right? So in order to avoid bishvili nivra olam being gimme, gimme, it's all coming to me, Rashi eliminates that with one word. Klomer. Don't go there. That's not going to get you any closer to pshat. Klomer. Got it? That what the klomer is eliminating? We can leave that behind. So what then is? What then? What does it mean, bishvili nivra ha'olam? If it doesn't mean it's all coming to me, what does it mean? Choshuv ani ke'olam Mole. Anybody want to translate that? I am as important as a full world. I am as important as a full world. What's the significance of that? Rashi says, "Lo et tared es atzmi min ha'olam ba'aveira achas." I will not destroy or obliterate myself from the world through one aveira, the yimshach mimena, and that will cause him to draw his hand back from that aveira. So when I first read the Rashi, I was like, "What? What's he trying?" Let me just say that again. I'm as important as a whole full world. I must not obliterate myself from the world over one aveira. Wait a second. If I'm the whole world, what world am I obliterating myself from? I'm the whole world, so I shouldn't obliterate myself from the world. What world am I? I mean, if I want to obliterate myself, what difference does it make? So, who cares how important I am? I decided this is the way to spend my, you know, this is it. This is the way to spend this life. One McDonald's. I mean, I'm not going to obliterate myself. I'm not going to obliterate myself from the world. And besides, there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says that a person is supposed to make a calculation of the schar mitzvah keneged hefseda and schar hefsed aveira keneged schar. Person is supposed to make a calculation. It's called cheshbono shalolam. Person is supposed to make a calculation of what's the benefits of doing a mitzvah against the cost. What's the benefits of doing an aveira? Yeah, benefits. There are benefits of doing an aveira against the cost. Supposed to make a cheshbon. So, if that's what Rashi was trying to tell us, lo et teredes atzmi min ha'olam ba'aveira achas, if he's trying to tell us that, you know, make the cheshbon like the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos makes the cheshbon. So then, what's that got to do with b'shvili nivra ha'olam? That Mishnah doesn't say anything about b'shvili nivra ha'olam. That Mishnah says get your brain working, and figure out the benefits of a mitzvah against the loss. Figure out the benefits of an aveira against the loss. What's that got to do with b'shvili nivra ha'olam? You got the two parts of the Rashi that don't seem to have anything to do with each other. Choshev ani ka'olam mole. What's a nice speech? I'm equivalent to a full world. Then it says, lo et teredes atzmi min ha'olam ba'aveira achas. I want to pull myself out of the world over one aveira. I'm the whole world. What is the difference does it make? And besides, if all he's trying to do is teach me how to make calculations, so the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos does it. What's it got to do with here? V'yim shalchim ben, okay, I understand. If he makes the calculations, so then he won't do the aveira. What does the calculation got to do with b'shvili nivra olam? So I'd like to suggest, Rabosai, that we have to understand the pashut pshat in this sequence in Rashi. If I told one of you guys that I found some silk from India, it's $3,500 a meter. It's magnificent, magnificent silk. I brought you some to be a dust cover for the old shoes that you have upstairs. I brought you some of this silk as a dust cover for your old shoes. What would you tell me? What's the matter with that?
Why are you using it for that?
What doesn't make sense about that?
It could be useful in better things.
In other words, the logic is that you don't use something more valuable in the service of something less valuable. You don't use a $3,000 piece of silk to cover a pair of shoes that you can buy 500 of them for $3,000. You just don't. It doesn't make sense. What you use to service another thing is always of less up to equal value. Let's say you had a $10 pair of shoes, and I told you you could preserve them with a $10 cover. So maybe up to a $10 cover, maybe you would say, okay, it saves me from having to buy another pair of shoes. But you're not going to use an $11 cover, and you're certainly not going to use a $1,000 cover. You just won't. Because it doesn't make sense to use, to put in the service of something, a book cover. You don't put a book cover that's more valuable than the book. You put a book cover up to, maybe up to, the value of the book, not more.
Intro books.
I'm sorry?
Intro books.
Exactly.
Well, that's more expensive.
But you wouldn't do it for the value of the esrog. That's the value of the mitzvah. You wouldn't do it for the value of the esrog, correct? If you didn't think that an esrog mitzvah was valuable, you would not spend $200 on an esrog box. For sure. For sure. Besides, you also aggregate the total number of years that you're going to use it, so you put the total number of esrogim and all that you're going to spend over the next 25 years of using this esrog box, and my guess is that you're back to the original calculation. It's a small, small service item in the service of something very expensive. Concept is clear?
Yes.
Service? Okay. So if Hashem put into the world a bar of gold in preparation for the arrival of the human being, what do you now know about the human being?
More expensive.
He is more valuable than a bar of gold. He is worth more than a bar of gold. What if I told you that he put all of the gold in Fort Knox and all of the gold in South Africa, all of the gold in the world, he put into the world in anticipation of the arrival of one man? What would you then conclude?
Very valuable.
Very valuable. Yeah? Very valuable. That value, incidentally, is not something that the folks who talk about hundreds of millions of years of evolution are interested in. Because that value makes it a little hard to do averos.
That's why the calculation is stuck, though, because there's 6 billion of us in any given generation. So let's say that all the gold in the world is serving all those people.
The Mishnah makes it clear over and over again that it's all there for one person. It happens to be that you're alluding to an important yesod, and the yesod is you have to know it's for him also. You have to know his value also. Because that's the yesod of personal value happens to be that there's a spillover effect. As much as I must remember that all of that gold was put in the world for this one person called me, I also have to know that all of the gold in the world was put for this person called him. That means that in terms of the value of a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put as a service item all of the gold in the world. As a service item to one person. But he didn't stop there, because he put all the silver in the world there too. And all the silk in India. And all the esrogim. And all of the different colors of flowers. They were all there in the service of one person. If I told you to take a bar of gold, anybody ever see a bar of gold? South Africans have seen them, I'm sure, right? It's kind of heavy. You can't just pick up a bar of gold. As a matter of fact, they have this shtick there with you. You go to a gold mine, and they say, and on your way out, you can take it with you, you know? And anybody can take it with them, they can carry it out, you know? What's that?
You can't lift the bar of gold?
A little hard to lift. Apparently, you can only get one, I don't know exactly.
With one hand.
With one hand. If you can pick it up, you can take it with you. A little hard. If I told you to take that bar of gold and throw it into the Yam HaMelech, what would you do? You wouldn't listen to me. Why wouldn't you listen to me? Because it's worth a lot. Because you've assigned value to it. And the value that you've assigned to it is so great that you're not prepared to throw it away. Tell me something. This man who was created with all of this preparation, what was the significance of this man? What was the significance of this man who was created after all of this enormous, boundless preparation? What was his significance? Why was he given such incredible amount of value? It Hevi Omer Rabosai, because he was capable of receiving a command from the Almighty. Even before he received the command. But the capacity of a being to be able to receive instruction and command from his Creator, unlike any other being, is what makes man so valuable. And in fact, the first thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does after making that man is he instructs him. What does he instruct him? With one lo sase. One lav. One lo sase. So now build the whole system back again, Rabosai. All the gold and all the silver and all the platinum are all preparation devices for what? For one man to get what? One lo sase. It's not one man who's Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kulo and 613 mitzvahs and it's knows all the shas backwards and forwards. For one man to be able to observe one lo sase. That's all it was. One lav. Can we go back and read the Rashi for a minute? Klomer, on the words, it's the bottom Rashi on the Amud, for those of you who are going to be looking for it. Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, Klomer, Choshuv Ani Ka'olam Mole. I am as important as the whole world. You can't prove that I'm more important than the entire world all put together, but I'm as important as absolutely everything in the world combined. That you can prove. Choshuv ani ka'olam mole. Like in the full world, with everything that you consider valuable in the world, every little thing that you consider valuable in the world is all service item to cover you, to prepare for you. Lo etareid es atzmi min ha'olam ba'avei ra'achas. I'm not prepared to throw that into the Dead Sea for one aveira, because that is the significance of the person with just one lav. One lav. The whole creation and everything that we see, you know, we tend to think of ourselves, well, maybe I'd be important. Maybe I'd be important if I was being the kind called Torah Kula. If I knew all of Shas. Maybe if I knew one Masechta well. Then I'd be important. Because after all, Torah is important. And if I embody Torah, so then I'd be important. I am important because I am able to be commanded to avoid one thing in my life. How important? Equal in importance to the significance and value of every single thing that you consider valuable and precious in the world. And in case you think this is a Midas Chasidus, the Mishnah does not say Chayev Kol Tzadik V'Tzadik Lomar. The Mishnah says Kol Echad V'Echad Chayev Lomar. This is not for the elite to arrive at the point where they consider it significant that they are important in the world. This is Kol Echad V'Echad Chayev Lomar. If you haven't done it yet, you can fulfill the chiyuv right now by saying Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. But I suggest that you should pause as you say it and think of what that means. Choshuv ani ka'olam mole. Lo etarei des atzmi min ha'olam ba'avei ra'achas. People who consider themselves cheap, they have no problem throwing themselves into the Dead Sea. And they have no problem pouring garbage into themselves. If I'm a garbage can, so throw garbage into a garbage can. That seems like a perfectly reasonable place to put it. The entire minus that we were talking about, the whole minus, that whole kfirah, that is all designed in order to do one thing, to remove this statement, to remove Choshuv Ani Ka'olam Malei. What are you Choshuv Ka'olam Malei? Do you know why you're the king of the species? You're the king of the species because somebody had to be the king of the species after all in the 300 million years. You know, if you ever find something a little bit too hard for evolution to handle, add another couple hundred million years. You know, there's nothing that a couple hundred million more years can't handle. You know, Darwin himself wrote that the eye should disprove evolution. Now why?
I'm a crab.
Why should the eye disprove evolution?
And as well as it was finished.
Right. And they didn't see anything. The little bump didn't see anything. The eye had no function until it could start to see. So why exactly would those creatures that came a little bit closer to having whatever nerves it needs to have an eye, why would they develop an eye? Survival of the fittest should have caused them to develop the other way. The elimination of things that are unnecessary in the system. So if ever a creature were to be born a little bit closer towards having the nerve endings for an eye, the next generation should have gone the other way. And Darwin writes that. Darwin writes that the eye should disprove my theory. But the alternative is a knowing God, and that is unacceptable.
But Darwin was a believing Christian.
Darwin, I wouldn't call Darwin a frum Christian. Mm-hmm. But... But he certainly, I mean, he didn't take it to the point where he was willing to, where he'd be willing to go against the school board in northwest Wisconsin. But that's what he writes.
That's the end of the quote?
That's the end of the quote. Knowing
God, and that's unacceptable.
Right, and that is unacceptable. In other words, we know clearly right from the start where the minus comes from. Well, if everybody knows where the minus comes from, so then what's the pole? The answer is, Minus Mashchei. Apostasy. Anything that can be said, one word that can be said against Chazal, against the Torah, any word that anybody will say, it will get an audience. And unfortunately, it gets an audience right here, right inside us. It doesn't just get an audience out there. It gets an audience right in here, because it has a pull. It has an attraction. It has a pull. Minus mashrei. It has a pull. It's to such a degree that the Mishnah talks about the halachas, whether or not you're allowed to be healed, even from a life-threatening illness, by something that is involved with apostasy. The Mishnah says you can't, because minus mashrei. Because you're not going to limit it to say, well, it was one little thing. I'm able to keep my boundaries. Minus doesn't let you keep boundaries well. Minus has a tendency to flow. And that's why whatever anybody you will ever hear will ever say anything against Chazal and against the Torah, you heard it here today and you'll know it in the future, they will always get an audience. They will always get an audience. And that audience will not think that they're doing anything wrong. Because it's a natural pull, it's a flow. But what's the particular address? Why do they come up with all this minus? What's it really for? What's it really about? What it's really about is this expression, Choshuv ani ka'olam mole lo etarei des atzmi mina olam ba'aveira achas. Because that leads us to a thing called responsibility. And responsibility is everything that the Western world is pitted against. Everything. Rabosai, you have no idea how much is invested in avoiding responsibility. It is a tremendous growth industry. Anything at all to avoid responsibility. To a certain extent, the whole concept of democracy was designed to avoid responsibility. But anything at all to avoid responsibility, personal responsibility, family responsibility. Choshuv ani ke'olam mole puts a tremendous sense of achrayus, of responsibility on a person. It all hangs on. If I sense that all of these, everything that I see is valuable, is all there in service of me, in preparation for my arrival, it's a little hard to take myself lightly. Hopefully it will also be hard for you to take the next person lightly. Questions, comments, reactions? Yes?
Isn't he also just your level, the next person?
It seems to me a full world includes everything except people. I'm not sure that people are there to serve people. It could be that the Gentiles are, but we won't get into that discussion today. That's a time bomb.
What is this responsibility?
By the way, at Talmud Chacham, there's a bracha that he says when he sees 600,000 Jews. You know what the bracha is? All of these to serve me. So that's the role of a Talmud. Now, if you add not only one Aveira, not only one Lav, but you talk add to it the person who embodies all of Torah, so yes, everything is there to serve him. Right down to the last person. The bracha Chacham Arazim. First he says HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals the secrets. Labara Kalela El Sharseni. My memory serves me correctly. Yeah, question, comment, reaction. Yes.
What is the responsibility what's the extra responsibility?
I'll tell you something. My Rosh Hashiva, my Rosh Hashiva, Rav Hanna Lidwitz, Rosh Hashiva of Chavetz Chaim, he likes to tell the story. You may have heard it from me before. I'll tell it to you again, probably this time and future times as well, about his driving teacher. So, when he was a youngster, so his mother arranged for him to take driving lessons. So the driving teacher was a crook. So in those days, 50 years ago, $5 was a tremendous amount of money. It was a fortune. So this guy took $5 for a driving lesson. And he would drive around doing errands, and he would tell Rosh Hashiva, watch what I'm doing. And he would go around, he would take care of things, buy things, and every time he would say, watch what I'm doing, watch me, watch what I'm doing. So after like the second such lesson, Rosh Hashiva asked him, when do I get a chance to try doing that? So he realized that the gig is up, you know. Today's the day when you're supposed to have a chance to. So he switches places and he puts him behind the wheel. And the driving teacher turns to him and says, I just want you to know something. From where you're sitting, you could kill somebody. Rosh Hashiva froze. He froze. Subsequently took a normal driving teacher and learned how to drive. But he says he owes a tremendous amount to that crook. To just, if only in each moment we would just have a little glimpse of what is the responsibility of this moment. What hangs in the balance when you're walking down the street? If only we had a sense of the responsibility of that moment, of the significance of that moment. If somebody would grab us and say, kill somebody from here. Each moment carries with it awesome responsibility, most of which we shield ourselves from. You know how we shield ourselves from? By saying, what, me? Who, me? The word me is always associated with the word just. Me? I'm just. What, me? I'm just. You fill in the blank. What's that all about? I mean, I'm just. I'm just means I can avoid that little nagging voice inside of me that says, you have awesome responsibility in this moment. So, we have a strange thing in the Western world. We give a tremendous amount of responsibility to seven-year-olds, and we let high school teenagers go hefker. Absolutely no sense of responsibility. They get less responsibility when they turn 25, and far less responsibility when they're 30. And if they make a lot of money, they never have responsibility. When do we hit people with responsibility? Precisely at the age in their lives where they have no way of carrying that responsibility. Where we are meant to carry the responsibility on their behalf. we are the responsible ones for the little children. And there we hit them with, how could you not realize? How come you didn't? Why didn't you understand? That's a 5-year-old, the 7-year-old, the 9-year-old. They get hit with, how come you didn't understand? And the 25-year-old, it's all he's sowing is wild oats. He's Hefker. They say, how did we get the world upside down? The answer is, that is what the Minus is all about. The Minus is designed in order to take a human being off the hook. And unfortunately, Rabosai, it creeps deep into the world of Torah because it is very difficult to filter the air that you breathe. With the best gas mask, it is very hard to filter the air that you breathe. You can't win the battle by trying to filter the air that you breathe. The only way you win the battle is by developing yourself and working on yourself to the values that you were meant to work on. You can't win the battle by just filtering the air that you breathe. You got to grow, because the air that you breathe will otherwise drag you into the mud. How many fellows have I met who are involved in Shidduchim, who are young marrieds and sometimes not such young marrieds, whose approach to their marriage is just like that Western man. I want to love my wife. And they pull out the Megillus Tainus, the list, and if she does all of this, I'm going to love her. If she doesn't, there's plenty of fish in the sea. Excuse me, what's your responsibility in this? Now that it's altogether her responsibility to cause you to feel warmly disposed towards her, what's your responsibility in this whole story? And invariably I get back things like, what are you talking about? That's how deep irresponsibility has gotten into our bones. Irresponsibility runs huge and deep and wide in our bones. And in order to eradicate it, we need to go back to the chazal and back to the basics and strengthen ourselves in choshev ani ka'olam mole. If I thought that I would enhance your sense of personal esteem by insisting that everybody dress like a king, I would insist that you dress like a king. But it's not going to help. Because there are quacks on the street dressed like kings too. It's not going to help. And you can put a frock on every one of you and not make an important person. Choshev ani ka'olam mole is not, unfortunately, although it certainly is relevant. I mean, you can't ignore the fact that our externals affect us. Can't ignore it, but it can't end there. The work involved is an internal avoda of acknowledging choshev ani ka'olam mole and acknowledging that he is Chashev Ka'olam Mole. You can start with one simple place. You can start by not interrupting each other. One simple place. Treat the other person as though he has Chashivos. Try not to interrupt him. Don't let him finish the sentence. It's one of the features, the qualities of a chacham, as opposed to the quality of a golem, the Mishnah says. A golem is an unfinished product. We'll discuss the Mishnah sometime at length. A golem is an unfinished product. Chacham is somebody who is mature. I very much relate this concept of choshev ani ka'olam mole to the concept of being a chacham. Of seeing life for what it really is, seeing the world for what it really is. When you're studying the Parshias of Bereshis, to recognize Choshev ani ka'olam mole. He's also Choshev ka'olam mole. We regard him with a certain degree of respect, because that boomerangs back. If you regard him with an element of respect, what's remarkable is that you discover that you are too. You are also a worthy and respectable person. It has a wonderful boomerang effect. If you treat somebody else cheaply, so unfortunately, that also has a boomerang effect. questions, comments, reactions. Go ahead.
I'm sure we'll get from our parents calling us irresponsible for being here in Yeshiva rather than being in the working world. So why do they call that irresponsible but we call it responsible?
It's a very, very good question. It's a very good question. The Western world also has a conscience knocking at its brain. That conscience keeps on saying, be responsible, be responsible. They have to put it someplace that doesn't obligate them. They have to find something to do with that nagging voice that says, be responsible, in a way that doesn't obligate them morally. Where are you going to put it? So there are those who put it in green, be responsible to the environment. Well, it's a little bit, that still obligates a little bit. Still obligates a little. You can't pour your Coke into Aunt Getty. No. It does. It obligates somewhat. It does. But nothing, nothing clears you of obligation like putting it into financial matters. That's called being responsible. In fact, the Western world uses the word financial and responsible almost as synonymous. You'd be financially responsible. The word responsible almost means get money. Conversely, the word irresponsible means doesn't have money. But the guy who wins the Illinois lottery, you know, he's a problem for Western world. What do you do with a 22-year-old who won the Illinois lottery? Now he's worth $23 million, he's got a ranch in California. What do you do with him? You call him responsible or irresponsible? Western world is a bit of a problem with him, so they just celebrate him as a hero. You can't call him responsible, you can't call him irresponsible. It doesn't fit quite the model, right?
So how does celebrating him as a hero get him out of
the... Because now he's beyond responsibility. He's like a movie star. Is a movie star responsible or not responsible? A movie star doesn't have to be responsible or not responsible. He's a movie star.
It's also morally responsible to
have... I'm sorry?
Is it not also morally responsible to have to provide for your children?
You should know, that's the Jewish angle on responsibility. In other words, they take the Western concept called financial responsibility and give it a Jewish twist. So the Jewish twist is, it's not for you, it's for your kids. You see, because you can never do that. If you're doing it for yourself, you know, it sounds a little bit Western, you know, so it's not for you. It's not, of course, I don't want to make $100 million. Not me. It's for my children. And just be responsible for my children.
Rob, do you not have a responsibility for your children if they're only eating stale bread and butter?
Again, the where to put after a person assumes the genuine mantle of responsibility. After a person assumes that mantle of Choshev Ani Ka'olam Mole, he then must look back on the world and prioritize in that world, because he can't do everything at once. So in his prioritization, he must include his responsibility to the environment, his responsibility to sustain his wife and children, his responsibility to his Torah, to mitzvos, to Musar, to Yirat Shamayim. Once he has that mantle of responsibility, so his responsibility to the next generation in terms of teaching them, responsibility to those who are not yet from, to expose them to Torah. So once he puts on the mantle of responsibility, so then we give him the whole world and we say prioritize. And if that person prioritizes that his children are going to eat black bread and margarine, then we do not quibble with that, because it's done by a person who recognizes the totality of responsibility in the world. And in the totality of responsibility in the world, it may be true that I've got some relationship with the whales that are beached off the coast of Alaska. But I need to put that into a perspective of the total responsibility that I bear in choshuv ani ka'olam malei. It doesn't mean that I'm exempt. But if that means that I have to prioritize, so each person must prioritize in accordance with the depth of his understanding of the world and its entirety. To prejudice that discussion by starting in advance and saying, this is the definition of responsibility. This defines responsibility. Having money for your kids' college education, that defines responsibility. That's an irresponsible thing to do for somebody who's chashav ka'olam malei. Because maybe the person who's chashav ka'olam malei sees the world as having other priorities. I'm not going to prejudice that discussion. Now is not the time to prejudice the discussion one way or the other. Now is the time to assume the mantle of chashivus, of recognizing chashav ani ka'olam malei for what? To avoid one avera. The whole world, everything that you see, everything that you feel is valuable, all was put to your service so that you would have the ability to avoid one small avera. Questions, comments, reactions, go ahead.
And then you're over on the avera, there's the Yitzhara.
Right, okay. Right.
So what happens to you?
Tomorrow.
What about right now?
Tomorrow I must restore my prestige by doing tshuva. That's what the concept of tshuva does, is it restores man to his greatness.
I'm saying, what happens when you're not walking around with a shirt yet? You know, like, you don't have like this, I feel like...
In general, when people don't have this shear in their head, we don't give them the keys to the executive bathroom. In other words, I'm not prepared to rely on the judgment of somebody who doesn't know that what he's dealing with is an atomic explosion. If he thinks that what he's dealing with is Legos, now I'm not prepared to give him important decisions at the nuclear reactor plant. I will only give that to somebody who I know is well aware of the significance and implications of the decisions that he's making in the nuclear reactor plant. Because without that, I'm being reckless. So right. So even though I love the guy and he's wonderful and I think the world of him and I'm looking forward to his becoming more responsible over time, but I'm not giving him the keys to the executive bathroom.
But that turns echad ve'echad into tzarek v'tzarek.
No. This means that if we hadn't become so saturated, so in depth saturated with the minus, with the kfira of our meaninglessness, had we not become so saturated, you would not know what it means to have somebody walking around not thinking that they were important. The world was a bunch of tyrants and Napoleons walking around. That was a problem. The problem in the world was gaiva. The problem in the world was people walking around feeling like they were sovereign. The problem was that they were able to trample the rights of other people because they considered themselves so significant. Today, well, we're the Napoleons. You know what Napoleon? Napoleon was a short man. Short guy. He surrounded himself with very tall generals. So when he would talk to them, he would look into their chest. Straight into their chest. And he would walk right into them to be right into their chest. And they did what every normal human being would do. They would step backwards in order to make eye contact. And Napoleon would step forward into their chest. You know why? So as to never lift his eyes to another human being. You can count on the fingers of one hand people with that kind of guy in the world today.
You know,
the CEO. Yeah, some of them are CEOs. Henry Kissinger, Shimon Peres, I mean, whatever. You know, you can count on the fingers of one hand the people who consider themselves so absolutely mighty and significant that the whole world is there to serve them. I'm suggesting to you that with this Rashi and this Mishnah, we will create the problem of gaiva. With this, we will create the problem of gaiva. I need the problem of gaiva to be in the world so that there can be people who are genuinely abstaining from doing averos, not just wimps who are sort of too chicken. People who consider themselves too important to do an avera. People who consider it beneath them to do an avera. I need a group of balei gaiva. Dangerous stuff. Gaiva is a horrible thing. Horrible. Absolutely horrible. Horrific. But in order to be a genuine Eved Hashem, there needs to be a risk of gaiva. Because the person considers himself so awesomely significant. And then we have to tell him, guess what? Your creator. There's a relationship with your creator. That's the humbling force. There's a relationship with your creator. As great as you are, be aware of your creator. That's the humbling force. But first, we need chashavani ka'ola mole. An enormous responsibility that comes with being so enormously important. Question?
Wasn't the law that Adam was told not to do, I don't know, it's the deeper swarm or what, but it was equivalent to all the bechira that was going to be the potential of mankind, meaning meshokal to everything. Wasn't that it was just one small law? It was meshokal to everything.
You're raising an interesting point as to whether or not Rashi is working with such a chazal, or Rashi is working according to the Pashtus, Loratoy Disatsim Mina Olam Ba'avera Achas, what kind of Avera? So I'll tell you what, the minimum that you can take from this Rashi is that I should avoid a big Avera. I'm a little bit smaller than Adam, and my Avera that I was about to do is a little smaller, so maybe you can take from this Rashi to use your greatness to avoid a big Avera. If somebody takes from this Rashi a strengthened, renewed ability to avoid a big Avera, what's a big Avera mean? A big Avera means an Avera that it was easy to avoid. That's what a big Avera means. A big Avera means an Avera that I could have easily avoided. That's a big Avera. A little Avera means an Avera that it would have taken the whole world's energy in order, it would have drained the whole world's energy in order to avoid. So if we use this, I'm too big, too important. I remember, I have to end, I know you guys have to run. I just mentioned, when I was a bacher in yeshiva, so in shir, one night, two of the fellows were having a debate, as debates that could only happen in the yeshiva at 1 a.m. They had earlier gone to the makolet, to the grocery store, to get ice cream sandwiches. And they had put the ice cream sandwiches in the freezer earlier on in the day. So the ice cream sandwiches were rock solid. So they took them out. One of them ate it right away, and the other one had to wait for it to be just soft enough. So one of them ate it right away, and one of them waited until it was just the right consistency. And the next day in shir, the discussion that took about 2 hours the night before was presented to one of my rebbeim. Who's the bigger Bal Taiva? Who's the bigger Bal Taiva? The Feinschmecker? The Feinschmecker who can't eat it unless it's just so? Or the glutton, you know, who's going to have to eat it right away? So I remember Rebbe Davidovich saying, he said, Avad, the second one, is a bigger Bal Taiva. But he's less likely to do Grubba Avelis. He's less likely to do gross Avelis. He's a bigger Bal Taiva, but he's less likely to do gross Avelis.
Who was this who said that?
Rabbi Menachem Davidovich, Rosh Hashiva in Rochester. Questions, comments, reactions.
What does that mean? He's a bigger Bal Taiva. But he's going to be less gross Avera.
That's right.
He's a bigger Bal Taiva.
No. If you're a bigger Bal Taiva, so then the cheap Averas don't interest you.
Oh.
If you're a big Bal Taiva, that means you're a Bal, you know, that means that you're Choshev.
What, that you're going to go and do the big Taivas?
You're only going to do it if it's just so.
What's up?
just to ask you, this is a very important thing, I think, for everyone is, we have Musa Seder from 6 to 6.30 every single day.
Yes.
So now we want to know, step one in becoming responsible, what's the practical thing? What do we do? How do I do it?
Excellent, excellent question. Excellent question. Excellent question. I just take 1 minute. I'm sorry for delaying you, but it's such an excellent question. I think it warrants at least a little bit of a start of an answer. Avoid saying I'm gonna. Don't say I'm gonna to anything unless you absolutely are gonna. Start with total achrayus to your words. Absolute responsibility. Committed to something? Do it. Without question. If you're not committed to it, don't commit. Don't commit. Don't do anybody any favors. Don't I'm gonna anything. When you do say something that you're gonna do, do it no matter what. Don't say you're gonna do it, but if you're gonna do it, do it. Create an environment where, and if you learn a halacha, decide in your mind when you're done with the halacha whether you're gonna. If you're gonna, you don't have to say you're gonna. You don't have to report back to me. If you're gonna say you're gonna, that means you're gonna. If you don't, okay. Learn it again. Come back to it. Learn it another next round. But a certain ne'emonus, an internal ne'emonus, because it's internal ne'emonus that defines the person as a responsible person. Internal ne'emonus is the feature of a responsible person. There was a politician here in Israel who was running for office. You know how you can tell when a politician is lying, by the way? There's a foolproof way to know whether a politician is lying. Moving lips. Right? So, there was a politician who was running for office, and he announced a certain thing that he was going to do. He was mavtiach certain things for the Torah world. Mavtiach. He committed himself, if elected, this is what he's going to do. When elected, he promptly decided that he's not going to do it.
No more taxes.
So he was asked, aval hivtachta means
you promised.
To which he said, nachon hivtachti, aval lo hivtachti lekayim. It's true, I promised. I didn't promise to fulfill.
What does that mean?
That means he's not a human being. That's not the tzura, that's not the characteristic of a human being. If you want to work on this, in your thoughts, in your approach, it just increase the level in your musr, when you're learning musr, think about it, or you're learning halacha, or you're learning your gemara, think about it in terms of, what am I doing or not doing? If you're not doing, don't beat yourself up. Then now's not the time to beat yourself up. Now's the time to say, but if I do commit, so then I'm doing it because of my responsibility. I'm not even doing you any favor. The fact that if I told you that I'm going to wake you up at 7:30, so I'm not doing you any favor by waking you up at 7:30. I'm doing it because that's my avoda. My avoda is that if I said I'm going to wake you up at 7:30, I'll be there at 7:30 to wake you up. There was an incident with Rav, I believe that it was Rav Chaim Volozhin. And it was Talmidim, it might have even been Chaim Vital? Talmud Reb Chaim Volozhin was in the room when they were trying to make a minyan for Reb Chaim Volozhin, and there were only 9 people, and they were expecting the 10th to come, and this Talmud went over to Reb Chaim and he said to him, I told a woman she needed a Beis Din, I told a woman that I would meet her in town at such and such a time, which would have meant. Sir Chaim said, I'm shocked that you would ask such a shiloh. I'm shocked that you would ask such a shiloh. He left Reb Chaim Volozhin and 8 other people stranded without a minion because he had told...
Yeah.
It was Reb Chazan Yishim Shmuel Ganeman?
He told him that.
Beautiful. Okay. Yeah, I'm shocked that he would ask such a question. Told somebody you'd be there. That's Nemonis. Abbas, I feel badly to keep you. Anybody needs to go. Wish you Chodesh Tov.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Adam was going to...
Right. Thank you. See if Cal's here, because this is his... Okay, fine. Can you, yeah? Jeez.
I can't know, I'm gonna leave it at the end of the year.
I know. Address. Mobile phone. Phone. Android. Fine, it's a stuff.
Right, you add up the master.
Can I ask you, am I going to get a run on, or, sorry, am I going to get a run by a couple of the guys, or, like, is this possible? Because I was being paid, and when was, and that's in 2 weeks, I think.
Ja,
doch,